Well, hello and welcome to episode 4 of the Diminutive Collection. Hi, Christian.
Hello, Kieran. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm reasonable. I'm reasonable.
Reasonable.
A little bit sniffly, but I think you're a little bit sniffly too.
I know. I just really can't shake this cold. Like
Ooh.
it came, then it went, and now it's come back again in the shape of a sinus infection, which is always fun. Always fun.
Thought you didn't go to Vegas, otherwise you would have been very ill in Vegas in all that hot sun. But luckily,
I
we've
know
had
a few people.
heat.
I know a few people that actually went to BravoCon and got COVID.
Well, you were going to go there originally. That was your plan, wasn't
It was my plan, but yeah. So no, I've just got a just a common London cold. Christian, I know we've had a bit of time to look back and reflect and watch more videos of the more than just a residency. What are your thoughts?
I have to admit, I mean, we said this last time, didn't we, that we might be a bit hasty. And I think the clips we were looking at originally were a little bit on the quite far away side. It looked a little bit drab. But I've seen so many clips of the show now from different angles and really up close. That to me is very, very exciting. It does look very good. I mean, I still think the set's a little bit too minimal for my liking, but I think sometimes the lighting works quite well. And now I've seen it kind of in, I've seen all the kind of songs as a whole. I'm actually very impressed by it. I can imagine being in that room, in that tiny room, which reminds me of the Indigo at O2. Where Jason Donovan performed. I think it would be a really big buzz there. It must be so exciting. And I can imagine it was joyous. And she does seem so close and she interacts with the audience so much. I mean, she's
I
performing on
know.
stage and everything.
She comes down and she's like, yeah, touching people's hands and like surrounded by all fans. It is very much a very intimate and live experience. We have something very special in this episode. So I caught up with Kane, who was one of our very first Finogues on season 2 of the Diminutive Collection. He was lucky enough to go and see the show on the second night. And I spoke to him this week about it, and we had that conversation now. So here it is. Hope you like it. So, Kane, it's been a hot minute since we last spoke, right? You were on season 2 of the Diminutive Collection, one of our very first Finogues,
Yes,
from
and
what I can
I
remember.
send that to people that I meet, and because you always end up in conversation or refer things back to Kylie all the time, and so I'm like, I was on a podcast, like, and then I, like send them the link, and then they're like, yeah, I'm not listening to that.
You're on the only Kylie podcast, right? The best Kylie podcast should
Well, I
always
said
go.
that in the beginning as well. I said, I don't really like to do podcasts, but I could listen to a Kylie podcast.
So we are chatting to you. You're currently in Los Angeles. You've just got back from Las Vegas, and you were going to be telling us about More Than a Residency,
I
Kylie
am.
Minogue. Was it More Than a Residency? So before we get into the show, how did you get there? Because obviously you're from Australia.
Yes.
How did the process happen?
So, as early as last Monday, I was just at home in Sydney. And like everybody, I attempted to get tickets back in July. And even when, Kylie's, oh my God, I'm so overwhelmed with your enthusiasm, I'm going to release more tickets. I tried for that. And you know what that was like? It was just a
Carnage.
rigmarole of even to sort of like try and find different dates. And because you're in Australia, you've kind of got to really consider and work backwards. It's not like a quick trip from LA to Vegas. This is from Sydney. You've got to plan flights, accommodation, time off work, and all that. And so it was really sort of a bit of a nightmare at that time. And I just thought, you know what, maybe I'm just not going to get to go to this one. And I made peace with that until last Monday, when my friend who lives in LA, he's just like, you know what, babes, I think we've got a table, but it's for Saturday night. Can you do you think maybe you can make it?
So basically, you dropped everything and ran to the
More or less. It was just, I looked at my calendar and I thought, I could make this work. Like, I don't actually have to shoot anything. I'm a photographer. I don't have to shoot anything until the 15th. So theoretically, I could go, we could do this Vegas road trip because that's what it ended up being. And then I could hang out in LA for a bit to decompress after the entire experience, which is what I'm doing now. But yeah, it was sort of like, I'm gonna go do this crazy, drop everything and do this crazy thing, you know. And so I looked at flights and I thought, oh yeah, I could do that. And we looked at so the thing is, my friend is a journalist for a couple of Australian media outlets, and one of his friends, who is also a journalist, had emailed or been emailing or in contact with Team Kylie.
Okay.
And so, you know, the venue, Voltaire, had sort of like said, oh, so we've got new tables. And this, I think, my theory is that, you know, those expensive Ticketmaster packages that, you know, were in excess of like US$15,000.
Ridiculous, yeah.
My assumption is they didn't sell. So the venue is kind of like, well, now we've got to fill these seats. And now, of course, like all the journalists and media and high rollers, they're all getting the
Yeah.
comps. And so when we say residency, it's probably more for Americans.
Yeah. Did you hear a lot of Australian accents, or was it predominantly all US people in that audience around you?
So at one point, Kylie sort of like, she's doing a little chat to the audience and she says, is there anyone here from Australia? And at that stage, I go, me. And she sort of like pivots around and she goes, you know, where? And I'm like, Sydney. So in answer to that question, I don't actually know, because you know, I didn't hear any other sort of, you know, like me's from the audience, because at that moment it was my particular moment having direct eye contact with
Nice.
Kylie.
So you basically had a conversation with her, like
And you know, we're
literally.
BFFs now, you know, like but I've never been that close in a Kylie show. Like, you know, we've had intimate and live and stuff, but it's still in a theater. And this room, the Voltaire room, is like walking into this fantasy space. They've got like these translucent baubles hanging from the ceiling, these mirrored starbursts. I mean, I'm sure you've seen like the concept art or,
Yeah, we
you
saw the
know, on.
concept art and yeah, but things online. It did look great, but I just saw grainy footage, so it's difficult to tell.
Yeah.
What was Kylie's show before this like standard show, Belle de Nuit, I think it's called, or
Belle de Nuit.
Nuit?
Yeah, look, so I went night two. So what we had done is we'd sort of like driven from LA on Saturday morning, gotten to Vegas probably around 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and then kind of just hung up out because we knew that Kylie was going to be on at 11.
So
And
late,
but
so late.
they'd sort of like suggested be in by 9:30.
Okay.
And because we had a table, there was, you know, you're paying for the cost of your ticket, plus there's a minimum spend, or in America, it's called bottle service. And so you have to spend a minimum amount per person at the table. And that's on, you know, alcohol and their limited food option, which was basically only caviar or these expensive cookies, you know. And so we were like, oh, you know, we'll just get something there because we've already got to spend this, you know, insane amount of money, you know, while we're at the table. But because this was night two, the venue had trouble getting everyone in on time. So people, if you had a general admission ticket, you could go in because you're essentially just standing behind all the tables and then there's a bar there. But if you're at a table, they're swiping you, your ID is getting checked. So I needed to take my passport.
Wow.
They are double checking your tickets, and the person that booked the tickets, you know, it's like you're giving over a DNA sample. And so they hadn't really worked out how to do that yet. I would say being a VIP table doesn't actually mean being a very
Mean
important person. So
anything?
we got, my point is, we got seated quite late. And so we missed a bit of that Belle de Nuit, the beauty of the night, let's just call it, which
Yeah.
was kind of like circus cabaret burlesque acts. And so they kind of do one of those act, and then the DJ kind of does a set, and then another one's introduced. And so we saw a few of those, but I feel like we missed one or two of them while we were getting checked outside or checked in. But they were really good. They were some circus acts. It was all very sort of like French Parisian. We're just sort of like dancing to maybe, I think there was like a Jessie Ware song in there. Just to sort of, but they were only sort of like short. And I feel like maybe they got shortened because cut
Okay.
due to come on at 11, which was already, as you know, pretty late.
Oh my God, so late.
But Kylie's show was only 75 minutes.
Okay. Yeah, that's very short for a Kylie show.
But, and so it kind of like was designed as, you know, like a greatest hits package. Really, because you know, as you know, whenever we go to see a Kylie Minogue concert, we've got everything from every era, you know, all Fever singles, because which she did, because she did Come Into My World, which we hadn't heard in a long time, right?
Looking at the set list as well, it is very much Kylie from the 2000s onwards, right? Other than the Locomotion, I mean, there's
And
no
Come
I Should
Fight
Be So
Me.
Lucky. There's no I Should Be So Lucky or anything like that,
No,
right?
the only songs that predated Spinning Around were Confide in Me and Locomotion. But she also did Elvis's Can't Help Falling in Love.
It's
It was
beautiful, yeah.
beautiful. It was
Lush.
just, oh gosh, it was stunning. It was just so nice. And it was nice to hear Kylie ballad, like in
Yeah.
ballad mode, because we don't get that often. I feel like this probably could have been a good opportunity for Kylie to do a bit more of a. Like it just felt up all the time. Like we were all out of our seats, and you know, in the Kylie hits, you know, like hit after hit after hit, and you know, like woo, having a great time, you know, which is awesome. But it would have been nice to have like a few of those moments, more of those moments where Kylie is intimate and acoustic with the audience.
No, because it's one of those things where when you were looking at it on stage, like she had what, five different outfit changes? Do you
I think
think, like,
four. Like she
four?
kind of like came on wearing like this big pink thing, but then she took that off, and then there was another re like a reveal of another outfit.
One of Christian's controversial comments from our last episode was he saw from the footage online on Twitter, and he sort of said that it looked like a GAYPA. Did you agree with that, being in the audience? But I suppose it's a different thing where, you know, you've been there, you're experiencing it, you're not seeing it through a screen. But did it look as, I don't know, well, what am I trying to say? It didn't look cheap, so to speak, but did it look a little bit pared down to what we're normally used to seeing Kylie do, like with the Aphrodite tours and obviously.
Yeah, look, there weren't any props there. I there was a band on stage. There were props that, like, during Padamp, the encore, she was on like a platform and there was a staircase, but a lot of it was screen visuals, the dancers, and just Kylie. Because Kieran, we were just this close, you know, like there was like this B stage thing and this long sort of like Dick stage, you know, but she was constantly walking up and down, and then there was the main stage. And so whenever she was on B stage, she was surrounded, and there were seats like packed right up to that, and there were these people that kept clawing at her, and there was this security guard that was just sort of like, you know, settled down. It was so close. I don't think that she would have been able to do anything
Yeah.
too intense. But
What was a highlight for you? What song really stood out from the set list?
I've got video that one of my friends took of me during Love at First Sight, which was at the end, you know.
Yeah.
But I look back at that video and I'm like, oh my God, that right there, that's me totally happy. And I mean, look, I'm not alone in probably playing Kylie Minogue far too much in my headphones all the time, and people going, really, this song again, this song again. But each time I hear those songs, I'm just taken to that place where, you know, it's me and Kylie, my relationship with Kylie. I don't know. I think you guys said it in one of your podcasts as well. Like, Love at First Sight is one of those songs that I like to hear as the pre-recorded version.
Yeah.
And so every time I hear it live, I'm like, oh yeah, you know, I know what that sounds like. And that's always the crowd pleaser. But, you know, it really was like that really good moment that just had everybody and the energy in the room. It was magnetic, electric, kind of, you know, we were all feeling it. At least from my perspective, I'm like, this is the culmination of this experience. You know, like leaving, being in Sydney like last week and then making a snap decision to go and then being there and going, yes, this is the moment. This is the last song, you know.
Was there any kind of songs that you thought were missing from the night? Obviously, a 75-minute show is quite short. What kind of songs do you think she omitted that she should have done?
Things like Put Yourself in My Place, maybe, I think would have had a really good space there. But that would have been too similar to Can't Help Falling in Love, which was more appropriate for Vegas. I think maybe I would have liked to have heard one or two more Tension songs.
I was quite surprised that there wasn't that many. There was, what, three or four Tension songs?
Yeah, so she did all the singles and Vegas High.
Vegas High, yeah.
Which I assume is going to be another single. If not, it was purely curated for this residency. But yeah, I would have heard to, I'd like to have heard things like Story or Things We Do for Love, even Somebody to Love, like one of the deluxe tracks, because, you know, usually treated to like an unreleased, obscure, fan-driven track.
That's my favorite track on the album.
Oh my God. Why do they make deluxe editions anymore? You know, like.
Yeah, I know. It's for people for us to buy them for like different, just to buy all the copies, right?
Oh my God, Kieran, like we've remodeled her kitchen like 20 times. Yeah.
I've done a bathroom in there as well, I think. I've got a couple of bathrooms that I've done in their properties. I don't need 15 copies of Tension. I really don't. But somehow they are in my bedroom.
Just, and then as I was on the plane over, like we had in-flight Wi-Fi and she's releasing the extended mix edition with the same cover, just a different color scheme. And
Take my money. Like,
fine. Gosh, the amount of money that I was spending like on this Vegas trip.
Has it kept you up at night? Obviously, I'm not going to ask you because that's terribly rude of me, but is it eye-watering, the money that you spent on this trip?
Oh, look, the things we do for love.
100%. And there's no judgment whatsoever. I'm with you. Like, as soon as she announced this, because I was actually going to go that weekend because it was BravoCon.
Yes. And I was invited
to go to BravoCon. And
gosh, it would have been amazing, you know, like two Finogues in one place.
I know, like literally, I was this close, but I just couldn't get tickets, and I was like, oh, yeah, it was, So hopefully next year she'll do it again, and I'll go to Bravo, kind of kill two birds with one stone. But I have to ask, did you buy any merch?
Okay, so the merch stand I had a look at, and you know, standard fare, t-shirt. There was a jacket with the diamond on it, a cap. There was a couple of photographs that were kind of like on lithograph paper. I think was the no program, but I think the thing that was quite unique was a set of playing cards, and on those, you know, the characters that she plays in the Tension music video are on those cards. What she did in the show was she flicked those into the audience, like she made it rain.
Oh, wow.
And so they kind of fell on the ground, and I picked up the King of Diamonds, which is the blonde-haired droid Kylie. And so I think that was a really unique thing. But so this is probably going to blow your mind a little bit because I'm still coming down for this. But because I was with Australian journalists who had been in contact with Team Kylie, I got to go backstage with them. And so by the time I got back from backstage, the merch stand was closed. And so the only souvenir I've walked back from is
a card.
Is the card. But
did you meet her?
But for the first time in 35 years of having my relationship with Kylie, I met her in person.
Yay! I'm so happy for you.
Kieran, I'm beside myself, right?
Talk me through every single moment. I want to hear it all. Like, what did you say?
Well, first of all, my journalist friend sort of like stopped me at one point from drinking too much because, you know, he says, I don't want you to be too drunk for this, because then you'll wake up sober next day and forget everything. And, you know, I want you to participate in this moment that is going to be your memory and or some sort of like bookend or culmination of everything you blurt out to me all the time about being this Kylie fan. And so we went backstage and we were put in the green room and I made a beeline for Steve Anderson. And, you know, because for me, that was really exciting as well. And I'm like, Steve Anderson. And it's just, you know, it just had this look of like, oh, nobody knows me in this room and I'm not treated like a celebrity or in any sort of like way, shape or form. And I mentioned you guys to him as well. I said, oh, I remember the podcast that you did with them was really insightful. And, you know, I've loved your mixes and your arrangements of Kylie's songs for like 30 years. And how amazing that, you know, like you have a chance to share your story with us. You know, I was saying
he's such a great guy, isn't he? We had such a great time interviewing him. It's, yeah, like massive, massive fan. We need to get him back on after this tour to chat to him again. We'd love that.
Yeah. Well, I spoke to him about the arrangement of Locomotion because I said the way that you breathe life into a song that we've heard tens of thousands of times, you know, and I just assumed that every time I was going to hear Locomotion, it was going to be like the Abbey Road version. But this version that we heard in Vegas took me right back to 1987, you know, like as a 7-year-old dancing in my bedroom. You know, that was the first piece of music that I had ever owned. And
was that arrangement more like the Australian?
Oh, yeah. The one that you call the tinny version.
No, Christian calls it the tinny.
Oh, Christian calls it, yeah.
Yeah, no.
The tinny version. That's right, yeah.
The original.
We're team Mushroom Records version.
100%. 100%.
So it started like that, and then it sort of like became like the Abbey Road reinvention, but then also there were sprinkles of the Golden Tour version, and then it felt new. And so I was saying this to him, and I'm just like, you know, like it's just continual surprise all the time. So thank you. And, you know, like I was really chuffed with that. And then next minute they said, okay, we're going to, you know, this way, we're going to meet Kylie. I'm like, well, I'm glad that I didn't have too much time to stress about it. And then we're walking and then, you know, like there's this tiny princess in like a gold Dolce & Gabbana sort of like pillowcase wrap thing. And I'm like, oh shit, that's Kylie.
Oh my God, amazing. Amazing. How many people were in the room with her? Was it just you guys?
Well, we were in the corridor. We hadn't even made the room.
Oh, wow.
There's a few people. There was a photographer, and fortunately, because he took a photo of me with Kylie, and I'm like, okay, well, you know, we're just up against a wall here, so I just might lean. And she sort of like put her arm and posed as well. And and then it was quite surreal because then she kind of looked at me and she's just like, well, I know that journalist and I know that journalist, but who are you?
I'm hanging on high.
And I'm like, hi, my name's Kane. I flew here from Sydney like yesterday, but I'm just so happy to be here.
Oh my God. Have you got a copy of that photo?
Not yet. So we're still waiting on it to be sent through, but, you bet the minute that I get that, that's going straight to social media.
Literally, that's
incredible. A bit numb. I was cautiously optimistic the whole time, thinking, oh, there's a chance I might meet her. But I didn't want to get my hopes up. And, you know, I also didn't want to sort of like fall apart and be a blubbery mess in her company either. You know, I kind of wanted to appear like a legit person who is not necessarily gonna core at her sort of thing.
Oh my God, this will probably go down as one of your best Kylie concerts, right? Not it was intimate, it was, you know, she was right there, you had a conversation with her on stage. Yeah. And you got to meet her behind backstage.
Look, mate, my favorite concert was Aphrodite, my favorite tour was Aphrodite, but and so this will be like great in another way, like in terms of like this eclipsing any other tour that we've seen, probably not. You know, like it's a Vegas residency. It's probably more for the out of town, American out of towners that come to Vegas for the weekend, or, you know, like a high roller sort of like, oh, you know, what are we going to do tonight? Oh, well, you know, I've got the hotel has tickets to Kylie for you to go and sit in, you know. So For me, it felt like a standard greatest hitsy tour thing and not really something that was a tension-focused album tour. And so therefore, like in terms of time and space, it could have been anywhere in her career.
But completely, thank you so much for chatting to me. I really, really appreciate it. It was just, it's such a joy to hear you, hear the experiences. And yeah, it's given us people who couldn't go a bit of an insight into what sounds like a really magical show. So we really appreciate you. And
you know, Luke, I'll say this, am I the most deserving person to be there? No, you know, but because I was there, I feel like I carried everyone with me, you know, like,
well, yeah, you have, because we're there with you now. So,
you know, like there were a lot of gays there, like, which was really nice because you sort of like dance in the aisles and there's, you know, some guy in a sequined sort of like dress made up and stuff like that. And so it's really nice to sort of like dance with each other and, you know, but I don't know who these people are and, you know, but I feel like we're all drawn together through this love of Kylie. But yeah, like, thank you for like wanting to sort of like, let me just ramble.
No, my God, this is so great. Like, thank you. Like, this is perfect, mate. Thank you so much.
No, thank you.
Oh, Kane is so lovely, isn't he? He was just so excited that he got to meet Kylie in such an amazing circumstance. He had the conversation with her on stage. Like, it was just so great getting that perspective of a fan who was at the show. Yeah, what did you think, Christian?
Well, I'm too green with envy to even think about what he's just been talking about. No, I'm very, yeah, he's a lovely chap, and I'm glad that he had a great time. I mean, he had a really good time. He got to meet her, chat to her, meet all those people. It sounded like he had a perfect, perfect trip to Vegas, worth every dollar.
Every dollar and then some. I asked the question, but I didn't, yeah, thought it'd be rude for me to press on how much he actually spent on it, but I maybe might be able to mortgage my house to go to the next one.
Well, do you think she's going to actually add some more dates? There was a rumor that she might be adding more dates at some point, as in further into the year. But then we all think that she's going to do a tour, so that probably won't happen, will it?
Would you want to go? Would you go if tickets were available? Or would you rather wait for a bigger kind of more elaborate tour?
I feel like I'm missing out. I've got real FOMO now.
Well, Kane mentioned that like the show was basically for Americans and it was an attention show because there's only like four songs.
I'm happy about that because the one thing we didn't mention, I think, at the time, there is no Stock Aitken Waterman songs. Somebody pointed this out and I hadn't really noticed it when I saw the track list. And I actually was quite impressed by the track list because I just thought, oh, it's a little bit different. Well, it's not different. But she did ditch some of her favourites, you know, like Better the Devil You Know and stuff like that.
Do you know why there's no Stock Aitken Waterman songs? Because the world would combust. Because if she does Stock Aitken Waterman songs there and we've got the I Should Be So Lucky musical playing over here, the just world just can't take it.
Who'd have thought? Yes. I mean, you're going to see the show soon, aren't you? I Should Be So Lucky, that is.
I am. I'm seeing it in Plymouth. I'm traveling across country to go see it on Plymouth on, I think it's the 6th of December.
Oh.
Very excited about it. I've heard some really great stuff.
Yeah, I've seen the clips of it. So I've seen photographs of it online. It looks kind of fun. It looks, again, it's quite a minimal set. It's just backdrops and neon lights, but I'm sure it's going to be good. Good reaction. So I'm glad it's doing well. I hope it can land in the West End at some point because I know these tours are always an indicator of if they will end up in the West End. So
do you think it will?
I don't know. I don't think it's sold out around the country. So I don't know. But then, I mean, they have been promoting it quite a lot. But I don't know. Maybe it's going to be a word of mouth thing. It's still touring for quite a long time. So who knows? It might come to London in the summer because in the summer, I think the theatres they always have kind of like short run shows.
Yeah.
Like Greece sometimes they have for a couple of months in the summer. So hopefully it'll come to the Dominion. It always goes to the Dominion. So fingers crossed. And just before we do go, there's two things we need to talk about. One, she's been nominated for Grammys for Padam Padam.
Yes! Yes.
And you know what? I have a feeling in my water she might win it. I have a feeling.
She's going to win it, I think. Because compared to the other ones,
it's
her year.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. That makes me wonder, will she perform at the Grammys, which will be even more exciting. So that's something very exciting to look forward to because it'd be a perfect opportunity for her to do that.
And normally the dance category isn't televised. They normally get it like on the carpet or something, don't they?
Okay, what happened last? Did she won the Come Into My World, didn't she? A Grammy.
Yeah, she won it, but I think it was announced before the show started or something. So, because there's no footage of her actually receiving it, I believe.
See. Oh God, I hope it's different. I mean, she's made more of a name of herself this year. Maybe they'll kind of slip it in because she's if she is the winner, then maybe they'll kind of incorporate it into the show. I hope so. Well, I hope she'll be there at least. I mean, she's when is this? In January, isn't it? So
February.
So she's still doing her residencies, although if it clashes on one of her residencies, then we know she's not going to be there. Yeah, but the other thing I'm looking forward to is the extended version of the album coming out in December. What did you make of the Hold On To Now one? I thought it was really, really good.
Yes, I quite enjoyed it as well. I am just not going to purchase it physically. I will enjoy it digitally.
Does it come out physically?
Yeah, it does. It's got the double LP
on the
website. Yeah. So I will listen to it. I'm excited. I really, really enjoyed the Hold On To Now remix. And I love the extended Tension one that was on the CD single.
Oh, that's good. No, I'm very excited because I loved Disco Extended. And I just think this will be really exciting. Because it's quite clever. They tease you with these kind of like bullet versions of these songs where there's literally just all the, you know, they're hitting you with the song. And then when you hear these extended versions, they're beautifully layered, and you get this lovely kind of build up and a kind of an outro type thing, and it makes the songs feel much more rich. And so I really enjoy revisiting them in a longer guise. So I'm actually very excited about that, and I think it's a very clever idea of them.
Amazing. Well, yeah, we'll review that when it comes out. But yeah, Christian, I guess we'll see each other very soon to talk about some more Kylie action.
Yes, I'm sure she'll be up to something in the next week or so.
Amazing. All right, we'll speak to you later.
Lovely. See you later. Bye.
Bye.